Appendix E, Deployment. Deployment is composed of activities required to prepare and move forces, supplies, and equipment to a theater. This involves the force as it task organizes, tailors itself for movement based on the mission, concept of operations, available lift, and other resources. Deployment principles. Four principles apply to the broad range of activities encompassing deployment. Precision applies to every activity and piece of data. Its effect is far-reaching and the payoff is speed. For example, precise unit deployment lists ensures that correct lift assets are assigned against the requirement. Precision includes accurate weights, dimensions, and quantities. This degree of precision eases loading requirements and improves departure speed and safety. Precision allows units to meet the combatant commander's timeline and supports the concept of employment. Synchronization. Deployment activities must be synchronized to successfully close the force. Effective synchronization of scarce lift assets and other resources maximizes their use. Synchronization normally requires explicit coordination among the deploying units and staffs, supporting units and staffs, a variety of civilian agencies, and other services. Realistic exercises and demanding training are paramount to successful synchronization. Knowledge. One of the more critical pieces at this stage of deployment is the knowledge upon which decisions are made. There is a short period of time during which the deploying commander must make crucial decisions on employment. These decisions set the tone for the remainder of the deployment. Many decisions are very hard to change and have significant adverse impacts if changed. Others are irrevocable. Speed is more than a miles per hour metric. The proper focus is on the velocity of the entire force projection process, from planning to force closure. Critical elements of speed associated with force projection include agile, state-of-the-art ports, submission of accurate information, safe and efficient loading, trained unit movement personnel at all levels, timely arrival of throughput enablers, maintaining unit integrity, delivering capability rather than entire units, and force tracking information. Movement planning. To meet contingency support requirements, units develop movement plans and SOPs. An effective movement plan contains sufficient detail to prepare units to execute strategic deployments, while the SOP outlines functions that should occur upon notification of a unit movement. In addition to movement plans and SOPs, units maintain movement binders containing movement information and instructions. Unit movement plans. Movement plans define responsibilities, functions, and details for each part of a unit deployment, from mobilization station or installation to reception in theater. There may be more than one plan required depending on the number of contingencies/operation plans, O plans, the unit must prepare to support. Movement plans are written in a 5-paragraph O plan format. Containerization must be addressed during deployment planning. The key to successfully using containerization operations to maximize shipping options is to identify units with high percentages of equipment compatible with containers. The U.S. Transcoms component commands schedule lift against the unit line number to meet the earliest arrival date, latest arrival date window. Army Materiel Command publishes airflow schedules to call forward personnel and equipment to the aerial port of embarkation, often referred to as the APO. These schedules are in Global Command and Control System, often referred to as GCCS. The call forward schedules are movement directives that specify when units must have their equipment at the port of embarkation, PO, to meet the available to load dates. Based on these schedules, deploying units and their respective commands backward plan movements to the PO to meet the available to load dates. Movement directives, if published, provide windows by mode for cargo arrival at the PO. Training. Individual and unit deployment training are essential in developing the skills required to rapidly project combat power. Deployment training. Units with deployment missions are required to have an appropriate number of personnel trained to perform special deployment duties. These duties include unit movement officer, unit loading teams, hazardous cargo certifying officials, and air load planners. Some commands and installations maintain a local capability to provide deployment training to ensure the supported units have ready access to the required training. Unit Movement Officer. The commander is responsible for all aspects of deployment preparation, training, and execution and appoints the UMO as his designated representative. The UMO must know the unit's mission and the commander's intent for the appropriate coordination, planning, and execution to take place. Appendix D provides more detailed information on the UMO. Loading teams. Units must have personnel trained in vehicle preparation and aircraft and rail loading/unloading techniques. The type and quantity of equipment to be loaded and the time available for loading determines the composition of the team. Training is arranged through the installation unit movement coordinator, and once completed, the load teams are put on unit orders. Hazardous cargo certification. At least one individual will be on orders and trained to certify hazardous cargo at each unit level. The hazardous cargo certifying official is responsible for ensuring the shipment is properly prepared, packaged, and marked. The certifying official is also responsible for personally inspecting the item being certified and signing the hazmat documentation. Hazardous cargo certifiers must be trained at a DOD-approved school within the past 24 months and receive refresher training every 2 years. Upon training completion, they are authorized to certify documentation for commercial and military truck, rail, sea, and air. A common mistake occurs when the hazmat certifier is sent with the advance party, leaving no one to accomplish the hazmat inspections during departure operations. Air load planning. Air load planners are appointed and trained to prepare, check, and sign unit aircraft load plans and in the planning and execution of airlift operations. The Air Mobility Command offers an airlift planners course to those units aligned under the Air Mobility Command Affiliation Program. The course is also taught at Fort Eustis, Virginia, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Collective training. Companies and battalions train to meet unit and individual training requirements for deployment operations. Deployments can occur at any time, leaving the deploying unit with little or no time to correct training deficiencies. The objective of collective deployment training is to implant the knowledge, skills, attitudes, and abilities so it becomes a reflex activity executed with precision. Units must identify deployment as a mission essential task, annotate it on their medal, and gain and maintain proficiency. Many Army training programs offer the opportunity to include deployment training in major training events. Units with deployment missions normally participate in periodic emergency deployment readiness exercise / sealift emergency deployment readiness exercises, also known as EDRES and CDRE. These events are designed to exercise unit or command movement plans for overseas deployment. Emergency deployment readiness exercise / sealift emergency deployment readiness exercises may involve the unit moving to pose and loading unit equipment on strategic sealift / airlift assets. Major commands, installation, and brigade-level commands normally have SOPs and/or deployment regulations and policies establishing subordinate unit-required activities in an hourly deployment sequence. These documents guide unit activities during emergency deployment readiness exercise / sealift emergency deployment readiness exercises. Deployment training begins in the train / ready phase and ideally culminates in a meaningful deployment exercise that challenges all facets of unit deployment in a realistic venue. A well-planned deployment exercise includes a process to assess the performance of the soldiers, units, and support agencies. For the assessment to be effective, it must identify the areas needing attention in terms of additional training, revision to a SOP, or coordination with one of the support agencies. Route and locations reconnaissance and rehearsal. Reconnaissance of the route to pre-designated POS and of the POS themselves should be an ongoing activity. It may be accomplished through passive means such as map surveillance or optimally through site visits. Walking the terrain at the power projection platform and designated port facilities allows commanders to understand space limitation, see choke points, survey facilities, understand the simultaneous nature of the operation, and visualize the deployment operation. Terrain walks can be useful as a unit-level activity, but are more beneficial when they involve all participating and supporting units. Rehearsals validate deployment plans and permit commanders and unit movement officers to see possibilities and limitations. the physics of the operation can become plainly evident. Conducting rehearsals orients participants, defines the standards, visualizes and synchronizes the concept of the operation, highlights areas that need emphasis or change. Unit Movement Officer. The well-trained UMO will be prepared for any contingency. Many variables may require changes to plans and data, so the UMO must be technically proficient to meet the changing demands. UMO proficiency will not only enhance unit readiness, but expedite response time in a crisis that is critical to project the proper force. Duties. The UMO is the commander's appointed representative and attends to the details of getting the unit ready for movement. This appendix outlines the responsibilities of the UMO and provides the references for them. Commanders appoint in writing an officer or NCO, E6 or above, as a UMO and an alternate, E5 or above. The designated persons will attend an approved school. The UMO must focus on thorough planning, coordination, training, and execution of unit deployment. Specific responsibilities of the UMO include preparing and maintaining documentation for unit movement in TC Ames 2. This includes maintaining the unit movement data from which the operational equipment list, OEL, is generated, and creating and processing the unit deployment list. Preparing the unit movement plan. Planning convoy movements. Requesting commercial and military transportation. Coordinating with higher headquarters and support activities for unit movements. Coordinating logistical support for the move. Coordinating with the arrival/departure airfield control group, also known as ADAG, and the contingency response element, also known as CRE, at the APO and aerial port of debarkation, often referred to as the APOD. Coordinating with Military Surface Deployment and Distribution Command, also known as the SDDC, representatives at the Seaport of Embarkation, also known as the ESPO, and Seaport Port of Debarkation, also known as the ESPOD. Transporting of the unit's organic equipment and cargo. Establishing and training unit loading teams. Obtaining 463 Lima pallets, containers, and blocking, bracing, packaging, crating, and tie-down BBPCT materials. Ensuring all cargo is properly labeled with military shipping labels and RF tags when directed. Ensuring unit personnel are authorized to certify hazmat. Ensuring a DD Form 1750 packing list is prepared for containers. Maintaining movement binders or continuity books that include appointment orders, training certificates, recall rosters, OEL, transportation requests, and BBPCT requirements. The UMO will maintain a deployment binder for reference and continuity. The following is a list of recommended contents. Unit Movement SOP. Appointment orders and training certificates for UMOs, load teams, and hazmat certifiers. Recall rosters and instructions. Coordination requirements for plan execution and a list of supporting agencies and POCs. Major equipment shortage list. Supply list by supply support activity, coordination requirements, and prepared requisitions. List of BBPCT on hand and due out. OEL. Copies of DD Form 1750, the packing lists. Prepared copies of transportation requests, convoy movement requests, and special hauling permits. Strip maps for convoy routes. Advance party composition and instructions. Sample forms required for personnel support during deployment. Transportation requirements. Rear detachment and family support group operations plans. Unit-generated checklists or SOPs to assist in deployment planning and execution. Off-duty hours contact telephone numbers for deployment support organizations. Developing a plan. The following paragraphs describe a recommended step-by-step process for developing a unit movement plan. Step 1. Identify what needs to be moved. Based upon METTC and command guidance, deployment planning must reflect personnel, equipment, supplies, and how the unit will accomplish the move. For planning purposes, units plan to deploy with assigned personnel and on-hand equipment. Upon execution, the plan may need to be modified if additional personnel are assigned or equipment cross-leveled to bring the unit to the required readiness level. Units should plan to move their basic load of supplies to sustain their operations upon arrival in the theater. The quantities to be deployed are normally defined in OPLANs, Unit or Army Command SOPs, or ASCC instructions. The UMO must have a detailed listing of each piece of equipment to be deployed based on the authorized unit equipment list, often referred to as AUEL. All outsize, oversize, overweight, or hazardous equipment / cargo must be identified as it will require special considerations. Step 2. Identify equipment to accompany troops. Yellow to accompany troops, often referred to as TAT, equipment must accompany troops and be accessible en route. Examples include Class 1 basic load items, individual carry-on baggage, and weapons. For personnel traveling via commercial air, this is generally only the baggage that will fit under the seat. Red to accompany troop items must be available at the destination before or upon unit arrival. This equipment may be sensitive cargo that requires special security or handling at the PO or port of debarkation. Red to accompany troops items must be unitized / palletized and reported on the AUEL / deployment equipment list. Not to accompany troops equipment is normally shipped by surface and consists of all other equipment required by the unit to perform its mission. Step 3. Identify what needs to move by air. This could include personnel, advance parties, baggage, and some equipment. The balance of equipment normally moves by sea. For deployments supporting combatant commander OPLAN / OPORDS, the time-phased force and deployment data, also known as the TIPFID, will designate the strategic movement mode. Step 4. Identify hazardous, also sensitive, and classified cargo for packaging, labeling, segregation, and placarding for movement. 49 CFR Transportation provides guidance on the packaging, labeling, placarding, and movement of hazardous materials. Step 5. Identify bulk cargo that needs to be moved and develop packing lists. All consolidated cargo, boxed, crated, etc., loaded in vehicles, containers, and on 463 Lima pallets must display a separate packing list, DD Form 1750, that shows all contents. Packing lists are not required for items that do not need identification, such as empty vehicles, nested cans, or bundled shovels. However, they must be listed on the load diagram if loaded in a truck or container. Step 6. Develop vehicle load plans for unit equipment. Equipment that cannot be loaded on organic vehicles should be planned for movement by other means: container, commercial rail or highway, or military assets. Vehicle load plans are recorded on DD Form 1750 for organic vehicles and trailers carrying secondary loads. The Installation Transportation Officer, also known as the ITO, is responsible for obtaining commercial transportation to move equipment to PO that is beyond the unit's organic capability. Unit cargo, vehicles, and equipment is prepared for shipment according to the mode of transportation. Depending on the strategic lift, full reduction may or may not be required. Reduction details are normally in the Military Surface Deployment and Distribution Command port call message or the Operations Order for Sealift. For deployment by air, reduction is determined by type of aircraft. Vehicle modifications, that is, shelters, bumper modifications, and so forth, made by the unit which change the vehicle configuration / dimension / weight, normally must be approved by the unit's Army Command / ASCC and ultimately by Transportation Engineering Agency. Vehicle modifications must be reflected on the authorized unit equipment list and deployment equipment list. Information on dimensions, weights, and cubes for all Army equipment is in CD-ROM and World Wide Web versions of TB55-46-1. The hard copy version only contains major end items. Step 7. Identify BBPCT requirements. All crates, containers, boxes, barrels, and loose equipment on a vehicle must be blocked, braced, and tied down to prevent shifting during transit. The POC for blocking and bracing requirements is normally the UMC. Step 8. Translate what needs to be moved into transportation terms. Personnel and equipment data are translated into transportation terminology as UMD and recorded on the OEL. Upon deployment execution, units use TCAMES-2 to update the OEL and create the deployment equipment list. The UMC provides assistance to deploying units for OEL updates and deployment equipment list development. Step 9. Determine how the personnel and equipment will move to the POS. In the continental United States, CONUS, wheeled vehicles and tracked vehicles move via commercial rail, truck, or barge. Unit personnel usually move to the PO by military or commercial buses. Army rotary wing aircraft normally self-deploy to the PO, where they will be disassembled for shipment. Step 10, prepare the unit deployment plan. The administrative, logistical, and coordination requirements for the plan must be determined. Items such as en route medical, messing, and maintenance for movement to POs must be coordinated and documented. Step 11, maintain the plan. Update the OEL as changes occur in the O plan, equipment, commander's intent, and mission execution. The OEL is used to produce the unit's equipment manifest and MSLs, and errors can result in the equipment being lost while in transit.